Everybody, welcome back. It's good to be with you guys again. I'm Jenny.
I am Renee.
And we have a new case for you today. We're actually going to be going over a case that is local to where we're from in Arizona.
Yay.
Do you have any idea what case it is?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only reason I say yes, so when this actually first happened, like right around the first time, me and my oldest, but we actually considered signing up for the volunteer spots to go help searching.
So that's how you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, also, you know, because people live up there. So we would go visit. So, you know, you do the travel. And for those of you who don't know, when you do a short drive in Arizona, it's very bland. It's very just a lot of desert. So there's not really much.
Is there any trees?
No.
No.
There's no trees?
None.
Arizona has no tree?
I will say, though,
that is false. We have a lot of trees in Arizona. We have a lot.
They may not all be alive, but we got trees.
Yeah. Oh, no. Most of our trees out here are probably dead. But we have trees out here.
Got some trees, guys. Okay. So let's dive into this one. It was a fun one for me to research and look into. I really liked it. Not that I liked that it happened, but it intrigued me, the different steps that were taken.
Yeah. Guys, you just had to... You had to be here to experience Jenny through her researching experience with this. It was lovely. Multiple times, I'd be like, just save it. Wait to tell me.
I'm not good at keeping things on the down low. Something comes out, I'm like, hey, I got to tell you now. This second, everything that's going to happen, guess where your surprise birthday is going to be? We just found out. So don't tell me any surprises if you want them to be a surprise, because I won't keep them. Not even going to pretend like I would.
Yeah, she keeps no secrets.
None. Okay, so let's jump into this. The case that we're going over today is Daniel Robinson. So Daniel Robinson was born January 14th, 1997. He graduated college with a major in geology in 2019. After graduation, Daniel decided to move to Phoenix, Arizona, and work as a field geologist overseeing several remote desert sites. Due to his job, this required him to travel long distances for work in between job sites. So Daniel's father, David Robinson II, which I'll just refer to him as David going forward, describes Daniel's love of nature, adventure, and travel. He had an inborn passion for exploration that often found him traveling at unwise moments, is what David stated. Nonetheless, he always kept his friends and family up to date on his plans. Daniel left his work site near Sun Valley Parkway on Cactus Road in Buckeye. So, on Buckeye on June 23rd, around 9:45 in the morning, and different sources actually, like, said different times, but I pulled that directly from the police report, was that it was at 9:45 in the morning. Some said it was at 9 a.m.
Like when he started his shift?
No, when he was last seen.
Okay.
So 9:45 a.m. in the morning. He was driving his 2017 blue-gray. Some sources said it was blue. Some said it was gray. Maybe like it changed colors depending on the sun hitting it and stuff. But it was a bluish-gray. Jeep Renegade. He was suspected to be heading west towards, but there's no actual proof that that's the way that he
went. That's just the route he should have been taking.
No, he should have went the other way.
He should have gone right?
Yeah, but he went left. Right would have set him back the way that they got there. But he went left, which would have taken further into the desert, and supposedly there was nothing out there.
And he wasn't supposed to be going further into the desert. He was supposed to be leaving.
He technically wasn't supposed to be doing any of that, but we'll get to that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So Daniel didn't tell anyone why or where he was headed on that particular day when he left. Daniel's family obviously quickly became concerned when an entire day passed without hearing from Daniel himself. David called Buckeye Police at 7:04 p.m. on June 23rd to report Daniel as missing. He informed them that Daniel had been acting strange and I have that in quotations, like, strange is what he said, the past few weeks, and that he had not spoken to him since the night of June 22nd, and that he was supposed to have been at work in an unknown location to David in the morning. Like, he just didn't know where the location was, but he knew that he was supposed to be at work in the morning. So officers Thatcher and Cruz were the ones who responded, and they reached out to where Daniel worked, Matrix New World, okay, which David had reported was Daniel's place of work, to speak with Daniel's coworkers. Gloria from reception appeared to be concerned when she got the phone call and from the police, and was told that his family was saying that he was missing. She advised the officers that she would reach out to the supervisors and have them call them back, the officers back.
Okay.
Because they weren't right there at the time.
Yeah.
So the officers then got back in contact with David to inform them that Daniel's sister, Devisha, she lived in Arizona, okay, too. She lived in Phoenix, too. Informed them that she had went to Daniel's apartment in Tempe to attempt to locate him. David informed them that Daniel wasn't present there and his vehicle wasn't there. She didn't find either of them. So law enforcement seemed to be taking it a little bit more serious. Like, okay, so they still haven't been located. So they actually went driving around where he was last supposed to have been seen in that area. They said that they went driving around in the police report looking for him, calling out his name, and they didn't find anything.
Okay.
So they ended their shift. They left. The next morning, it got passed over to the new person who was on duty. And so that investigator called and spoke with Kevin, who was a supervisor from Daniel's workplace. Kevin informed him that Daniel was supposed to be at a work site that morning, that he went missing with a man by the name of Ken. So Kevin put the investigator in touch with Ken, who worked as, they called him the Weber.
Okay.
But Ken didn't actually work for the same company as Daniel. It was kind of like a sister company, so they worked together on sites.
Got it.
But not okay. Under the same company.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. And so he met up with Daniel that morning, Ken said. And he was supposed to work alongside Daniel. And that was actually the first time that he had ever met Daniel. That was the first time they worked together.
Okay. So let me see if I get this. Daniel's at work. Daniel. Working with a new coworker slash partner type deal. First time meeting each other.
Yes.
Ken seen the next day at work, but Daniel's never heard from him.
Correct. So I'll keep going.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit okay. Confusing.
But okay. Yeah, I got my
But Ken people. Was the last person to see Daniel alive.
So far, yes.
So far, yes. Okay. So Ken told the officers that they drove to the site together, but in different vehicles. Obviously, Ken was in his vehicle. Daniel was in the Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrived at the site about 9:30 a.m. And some sources said it was at 9 a.m. that they arrived, but he said it was at 9:30 a.m. And that, again, like I said, it was his first time actually meeting Daniel. And Ken asserted that Daniel made strange requests, like asking if he wanted to go home, if he wanted to go back to Phoenix to rest, which obviously Ken thought was strange because Phoenix was 50 miles away from where they were located, and they had just drove in there. So he's like, why would I want to drive all the way back? But I guess that there was a storm cloud coming in. Oh, and so
dust devil.
No, like it was going to storm.
Oh, like an actual storm.
Yeah, like rain.
And wait, when was this? In June, right?
June 23rd.
Monsoon.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so Ken was like, I'm going to call the supervisors and see if we're still going to work on this because it might start raining.
Yes. Safety.
Yeah. So he was like, maybe that's why he's acting strange. He's like, you want to go back and rest because it's going to rain? And again, he had never met him. So for him, he's like, I don't know if that's just how he acts. Like, this is just how he is. I don't know. It's just weird. And
maybe it's strange just to that person.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Ken stated that Daniel did seem to be distracted, staring off into nothing and bringing up topics unrelated to their work, why they were there. And he said it looked like it was going to rain. And so he's like, I'm just going to go on my app now and check the weather. And it was during that time when he was checking the weather and in with his supervisors to see if they were still going to proceed with the work that Daniel decided that he was just going to leave. He said that he kind of just looked up and Daniel was just waving like, bye, like, I'll see you later. And he said this was probably approximately 15 minutes after they had arrived at the site, which he knew that it was kind of early for him to be leaving because it was a big site and there's no way he would have finished the work that he was there to do within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But he said he waved to him and then Daniel walked over to his Jeep and jumped in and abruptly left without a word of when or why he was going or if he was even going to come back.
Okay, so question, Ken. You were quick to find out if you guys were working through the storm. Did you also happen to mention that your partner decided to leave your location early with no knowledge of where he was going to be going to or if he'd be coming back?
But also remember, they're sister company, so he doesn't actually know, like, what exactly Daniel was supposed to be doing the entire time. But he obviously knew
the company wanted two of them out there.
Well, they were doing different things.
Okay, maybe.
Okay, so they're doing different things. I still
find it.
We'll just keep listening. Yeah. So Ken explained that he did reach out to the project manager, whose name was Steve, and informed him of the situation that had just occurred and let him know that Daniel just left the site.
Oh, look at you, Ken. You read my mind.
Yeah, so he did reach out. And so he just continued to keep working and doing what he was supposed to be doing on site. And Steve just kept him up to date on what was going on as he was trying to get in contact with Daniel throughout the day and had coworkers trying to get in contact with Daniel throughout the day.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I mean, this sounds like a company I would want to work for. Like,
yeah, they care that he went missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. So at around 3 p.m. on that same day, June 23rd, Ken became aware that Daniel hadn't been found yet and neither his friends or his family or coworkers could reach him or get in contact with him. So Ken jumped into his vehicle and went searching for Daniel. He was following the tire tracks that he assumed were Daniel's because it rained a little bit. So he was trying to like, oh, these were
like fresh tracks.
Yeah, these are fresher tracks, so I'm going to follow them. So that's why he's like, oh, he had it left. Because he saw some tracks that he thought looked a little bit fresh and that was probably him. So he followed the tracks that he assumed were Daniel's, but they're, like I said, heading in the wrong direction. And he drove up to try to go to some hills, looking up on top, trying to see if he can maybe spot his Jeep. But he was never able to locate him or his vehicle.
Okay. I mean, I get that higher vantage point. I mean, hiking. You get lost or you're trying to find a specific point, like it makes sense, especially like you think, oh, desert, you don't need that. You actually do, because looking at like the flat, stretched out land, like it can get very repetitive and your mind starts playing tricks on you. So having that vantage probably definitely helped him. So when he says, I didn't see it, I kind of take that like, okay, I feel that. But then also
being from Arizona and our heat, especially being June 23rd,
being a local,
you could be like looking and you're looking, but it all becomes like a mirage and it's hard to see far away, especially if it's just desert, just sand, and it's like the dead of heat.
Exactly.
You kind of like, wait, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Is that a tree? Whether you're hydrated or not hydrated, unless you live in Arizona, in the summer, you really don't understand. But that's literally like, you could be like, I don't see anything. But at the same time, for me, I'd be like, I could be missing something because it's hot.
Yeah. No, and I feel that too, because like when we would go, like me and you hiking, and we're natives. Okay. We are like born and raised Arizonians. Yes. We are born and raised. So we are like bred in this heat, you know, like this is something that we're very accustomed to. But even for us, like we're outside for an hour now, and like that direct heat, you look out ahead of us and like it just blends and everything just kind of goes in. So imagine that in the heat. Now that's us in like our regular clothing. Now these workmen are like completely like loaded up on their gear and everything.
I think it's amazing that he went out looking for him.
Especially but for not even...
At the same point, I'm also kind of like, you were also the last person to see him and nobody can validate what you're saying is accurate. So I'm taking everything that I'm getting from Ken with a grain of salt right now.
Okay.
Not saying, you know, it's just speculation, totally my own opinion. Just saying for me, at this point in the investigation, I'm like, okay, what mm-hmm. you're saying sounds noble and amazing, but I can make myself sound noble and amazing and none of it be true.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here, I'm thinking in my head, like, he's reaching forward with his manager. Like, he can't be doing nothing sketchy. But I'm also thinking, if that was me in his spot, I'd be messaging someone giving myself a false alibi while I'm still doing my dirt.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, I would snitch on myself, but if I was in his shoes, I can see that happening.
Yeah. So David also reported to knowing that Daniel did use marijuana, and Davisha agreed that she did have knowledge that he used marijuana and knowledge of him using alcohol every now and then, but not like an alcoholic, and mm-hmm. no other drug use that they knew of. They both agreed, however, that something strange occurred, that Daniel's photos were all taken off of his Instagram account since his disappearance, which to me seems really strange.
Yeah, like, that's unusual. They went down after?
It was like, I guess they're saying like maybe right before he disappeared or the day he disappeared is when they all came off his Instagram.
According to Ken, he went missing at about 9:30-ish, 9:40-ish, which means anything after that time frame would be after he disappeared.
Yeah, so, well, he's saying that he, last time he saw him was driving away around 9:45 a.m. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay, so Davisha also made note of a time that Daniel came to her house, and she said that he just sat silently for about 30 minutes, even after she tried to ask him if he was okay and probe some questions out of him to see what was going on, because he seemed a bit off. She stated that he just got up and left. Daniel's brother was also able to locate a purchase at a Shell station on the day that he went missing, but the time and exact location of the purchase, they were redacted in the police report. So I'm not sure if it was purchased before he got to the job site.
Or stopped for gas and coffee before.
Or after, yeah. Because I know he was at a job site and then he left that job site and went to this job site before.
So
it was his last known.
Okay. And if with everything redacted, hard to verify and pinpoint.
Yeah, and timings. That's stuff that they might just be keeping close to the belt because it's important for the investigation.
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense.
So the police did conduct air and land searches with outside agencies covering over 70 square miles. They had UTVs, cadaver dogs, and air support such as drones. These were utilized by investigators searching for Daniel along with the UTRs. So these were the attempts that they used to try and find him out in the desert because, again, Arizona heat, you can only survive so long out there and they don't have any knowledge of knowing if he has food or water.
Exactly. We don't know how stocked his car is because his car is, I'm assuming, still missing with him.
Yes, him and his car have not been located.
Yeah.
So they did, the police did end up requesting his phone records and text messages to see the type of communications, to see if there's anything that could give them a lead.
Did they think about pinpointing locations? Desert, probably bad service, but still, like, most location GPSs still pin, like, locations. At least currently.
Yeah.
Of the New Year's that I know of. So did they, do you know if they, like, tried to do that when they, like, did their searches?
Those are great questions, and we'll get to that. So text message did come to light during the investigation between Daniel and a woman named Caitlin. He met her while he was driving for Instacart. So he had a second job. It only like slightly mentions it during that. It's not like indicated where his jobs are on the police report, which I thought was strange because clearly.
Well, Instacart, I actually signed up for it. So it's at your own terms.
But it's
still
a job. You still get paid.
No, yeah. No, not necessarily.
You don't get paid?
Not necessarily.
You drive around for free?
No, but I think it's almost like they don't give you a W-2. I think you have to do like a W-4.
Where it's so, like a business, but it's still a job.
Yeah, like your own.
So yeah, maybe you're still going to have to pay taxes.
Maybe
on
he
it,
only
though.
Did like one order, or maybe he only did.
Oh, like he had just started?
Yeah. So maybe okay. That's why it wasn't put down.
Okay, I can see that. So on June 19th, Daniel told Caitlin that he loved her directly, but received no direct reply. I know it sounds sweet, but not when like the whole context is okay. So on June 20th, Caitlin texted back saying that the unexpected visits made her extremely uncomfortable because I guess they had met. Her and her friend were there drinking. He dropped off some food that they ordered. They invited him to come in and hang out with them. And she states basically later that she regretted that she shouldn't have done that. She showed him a podcast and texted it to him. And so they exchanged numbers, obviously. And then he like listened to the podcast and just thought it was the most amazing thing. And it taught him how to like view life differently. And he then was like, oh, I left my, I think it was an umbrella or no. What's the thing that you put up?
When awning. You're at,
but I don't think it's called an awning.
Pretty
like,
sure it's awning.
When you're at like a baseball game or something, you're outside and you put up the
tent.
Sure. It's one of those things. So he said that he left it at her house, which to me is just strange because why?
Why was
if
it?
If you
at
were
her?
Delivering food, how did that come out? But okay, so it didn't specify how that happened. I was just my own mind was like, wait, why did you like? Here's some
how
food.
How did we get
and
to
here's
that point?
The tent. Yeah,
yeah.
But so he had asked her if he could go and pick it up, and she was like, yeah, you can come by any time and grab it. So and she didn't respond because she said she was out of town. But so he went. And she saw him on her camera, and then she was just like, oh, I saw you up by my house at my on my camera, and, like, you need to have permission, which I thought was a little strange. She said, yeah, come over and pick it up whenever, and then you're like, why did you come to my house and pick it up?
Right.
To well, me, that's just, we should have been like, you can pick it up when I get back. I'll let you know because I'm out of town. I wouldn't specifics. Have been, you can come back whenever and grab it, because mm-hmm. then I would have also taken that as, okay, I can go whenever
you
and
said
grab
whenever.
It.
Whenever.
Yeah, so when I read that, I was, wording was a little off. But she ends up being, like, really uncomfortable with his actions for showing up because he does show up more than once. And he wants to hang out with her and be friends. And so this is all, like, in a span of a few days that he tells her that he loves her. Yeah. And so she lets him know that the unexpected visits made her extremely uncomfortable. And so he texts her after she tells him that and says, I'm outside your place. Come here. So it's okay. Like, I get the miscommunication, but then the continuously showing up. And then she's voicing to you that she's uncomfortable and she doesn't want you just showing up at her house. And then you show up at her house 2 days later and do the exact
that's
same thing she just
strange.
Asked you not to do.
Yeah.
So Caitlin was obviously furious about this. And Daniel asked her if she hated him. Caitlin replied, and this was the final text message that she sent, was like, I don't hate you, but please leave me alone. Which I totally get saying that.
Well, yeah, because like she's literally, you're telling her you love her, okay, after days. You're randomly showing up, and now your concern is, oh, do I hate you? Like, I completely get where this woman is coming from, but it's also, what was his thought process in this? What was his side of the story? Because that's her side.
Yeah, we
and
don't know.
We're all
so
we're
most
women.
Of this is like everything she said, it is substantiated with the text messages are exactly the same
even
as what
then,
was
though,
said.
It doesn't provide the voice behind the message. It doesn't provide us the like the context of how it was said.
I think if it's through text message, it doesn't matter how it's said. If she's saying in the text message that she's uncomfortable and she doesn't want him to come over,
but
there's no way to take
between
that.
Between from that message to the
they
next
never
message.
Saw each other. We know all the messages were sent. Like
but
all
from what
the phone we records
know.
Were sent to the police. So there's nothing in between that was like deleted.
Well, I'm saying like not deleted like messages. Like maybe when he came in and picked it up or next
they
time
never
they
saw
had seen
each other
or maybe a friend or something.
They like, never saw each other again because she was okay. in a different, like she was gone. Yeah. She was on vacation. She was gone. So there was no like interaction and there's proof that they have that she wasn't there. So there was never interaction between them again.
I'm trying to see it, like, from both.
Instead of what he thought, like, this is appropriate and if I keep going. That side we don't know, but we know from what she's saying, it is substantiated and this is exactly how it happened. Mm-hmm. And there was no further interaction after that first meet of them seeing each other.
Yeah, no, that's strange.
Yeah. And so all the text messages were sent to the police department and uploaded in, like, evidence.com. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't know that was a thing that they did, but that's really cool. Daniel's father, he did report to the police that Daniel had mentioned being attracted to someone, but he had no prior knowledge about that. And he didn't know anything about who the lady was that his son was talking about. There was also a report from a coworker and a friend of Daniel's that Daniel had mentioned that Daniel seemed unusual, like something was really up with Daniel, something wasn't right about him. And he was like, I really need to talk to him. And this wasn't just a regular, like, random just coworker that he saw in the office. So when Daniel first moved here and started working where he was working, he met this friend, this coworker, and he actually moved in and lived with the coworker and his girlfriend for a little bit until he found his own place. So they ended up being really good friends. So that's why he was, so him saying, like, he's off and something, like, he's not acting the same.
He knows.
There's more to it because it wasn't just, I see you only at work, because people act different at work than when they're not.
Very true.
He was like, no, something's off about him. Mm-hmm. And he had mentioned that he had told himself, I need to talk with him. That same friend had stated that his strange actions seemed to be bordering paranoia, and that he had actually cut off his hair during a time that he had said that he was trying to grow it out, which he thought was really strange. And a few days prior to his disappearance, while they were at breakfast, Daniel had made comments about changing himself and discussing miracles and whether his friend believed them or not, which caused concern for his friend because up until that point, Daniel had never really expressed any religious views to him. So it was coming out of nowhere, toppled on top of the different changes in behavior and physical appearance that he was seeing that he was...
I don't know. This is fitting into... Is that, like, him acting strange, is that right around the time that he met, what was it, Caitlin, who showed him that podcast?
Basically, yeah.
So, like, maybe he just, this podcast really opened his eyes. Something, I'm doing something that...
That's what he was trying to get across to his friend. And unfortunately, like, his friend at the time, his father had just died, and he was dealing with the funeral arrangements and when he was sick and stuff. So he was caught up in his own... life events, and so he knew something was wrong with Daniel, but it's one of those things that you're like, I need to reach out to them, and I'm going to get to them as soon as I have time. Mm-hmm. And then it's too late, and you never know, like, how much time you have to get to that point that you're trying to do. So I'm sure, like, his friend feels really bad because I knew that something was wrong and I didn't talk
to him. I was gonna get to it. That would have been a yes tomorrow issue.
Yeah. So the investigator was also able to speak with one of Daniel's close friends, Luke, who had flown in from New York to visit Daniel. He stayed with him for a few days. Okay. Luke stated that he'd flown back home to New York on June 20th, so just 3 days before Daniel went missing, and that he had not seen any odd or abnormal behavior coming from Daniel during his stay, but that Daniel had stated to him that he was... like, happy that Luke came and visited him because he was feeling depressed. Aww. However, Luke did say that, like, Daniel didn't elaborate on the matter any further, and he didn't ask him any more questions of why he was depressed. He was just catching up and, like, spending time with him.
Yeah, he was probably just thinking, oh, like a homesickness, like a missing your friends, missing your family, that close connection that you left home from.
Yeah,
you know?
Pretty much.
Okay, I see that.
So friends, family, and coworkers listed in Daniel's police report assured authorities that he wasn't suicidal from what they saw and what any interactions they had with him, even though they do all state that he had been acting strange the weeks leading up to his disappearance. So furthermore, David remained optimistic that his son could still return alive, and he stated, I have faith that Daniel will one day come home, which is what he said in a news report. And that's where I'm going to leave you guys for today.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Boom. Cut in the middle.
Oh, shiitake mushrooms.
Oh, shiitake
mushrooms. I will eventually get my language under control. Probably not, but...
No, she probably... I will edit. But we will be back next week and figure out what else they found out about Daniel.
Yeah, I need to know. No, like I said, I've heard this story, but I can tell you right now, I haven't heard half of that stuff. So I'm a little, do I actually know this story right now?
Where's point C coming from? None of this makes sense. And we will get to all of that next week. Until then, please like, subscribe, follow, leave us a rating down below. And again, in our show notes, we'll have our sources for this episode, as well as a link to our Instagram page. So go give us a follow, give us a message, let us know if there's a case you want us to look into. Let us know how we're doing. Look forward to hearing from you guys. Until next week. Bye.